Aaron, we got that live stream working yet? Hey, Granny. All right. When I was in the Peace Corps in Peru, there was a professor I had the honor of working with named Dennis Miranda. Dennis had a vision to plant trees in the center of town and create a small forest. But that wasn't a simple task, because this town happened to be in the middle of the desert where there was very little water. The project was like a snowball in that when it started rolling, it just got bigger and bigger. We needed help. We reached out to the mayor, businesses, the water company. And in Peru, it's rude to be direct and just say, no, we won't meet with you. So they told us they would meet with us, and then they just didn't show up. But we didn't let that discourage us. We kept setting up meetings, and we kept showing up. With each obstacle, we found a way to go around it, dodge it, or simply break it down. We found a really cool way to drip water the trees using 2-liter plastic bottles and the power of the sun, solar energy. I remember we were so proud to look out over our little forest after we had set up the first 100 watering systems. The next day we came, and all the caps on the plastic bottles were gone. We later found out that a mom from the school across the street took all the caps for a kid for her son for his school project. After over a year of hard work, all the trees were planted and water systems set up. Dennis told me, "I know I may not be here to enjoy this, but my children, grandchildren, and all the children in this beautiful town will." There was a celebration, and the mayor gave some words. He said, "There was a lot of challenges with this project, but the thing that stands out to me most was Dennis and Davis's persistence. I thought they would quit, but they just kept showing up." In the gospel today, we hear the story of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. The odds are stacked against the widow. She is seeking a just decision, but the judge refuses to give it to her. Now, if she put her faith in the opinion of others, she may have heard, "You're just a lonely woman with no money or power. The judge may be corrupt, but you can't change anything." But she put her faith in God, who says, "Keep praying and never give up. I will bring justice to those who cry out to me." And every time the judge closed the door in her face, she kept knocking. She kept persisting, and little by little, she won. When I think of persistence, I think of Rocky Balboa. He would just keep fighting, and when you thought he would give up, he would go another round. Rocky said, "Every champion was once a contender who refused to give up." One thing the widow and Rocky have in common is they didn't lose their integrity in the process. When the judge told the widow he didn't respect her or any human being, she didn't react and stoop to his level of meanness. When Rocky was in a pre-fight conference with the champ Apollo Creed, Apollo said, "I want the whole world to see me destroy this man after 2 short rounds, because after this fight, he's gonna have to donate what's left of his body to science." Then they asked Rocky, "Do you have anything derogatory to say about the champ?" And Rocky took a moment to think about it and said, "Yeah, he's great." Jesus tells us right at the beginning of this parable that it is about 2 things: praying always and never giving up, persisting in our relationship with God, and persisting in seeking justice. Why does God want us to be persistent in our relationship with him? Because God needs us to do his work, and God can't work through us if we aren't listening. Jesus tells us, when it comes to prayer, persist in our prayer life. Just keep trying like the widow. Don't give up. Richard Rohr said, "I don't think I pray well." None of us probably prays that well. The only ones who pray well are those who continue to pray. So if there's any mark of success, it's persistence. We need persistence not only in personal prayer, but also in communal prayer. In the first reading today, Moses lifts up his arms in prayer, but then he gets tired. So Aaron and Hur come to his side to hold up his arms for him so he can stay steady. We all need each other's support to help us stay steady. I recently had to go to a reunion with old friends, and I was anxious about it. I was talking to James, who is on our maintenance staff over at Spiritus, and I said, "Do you really think I need to go?" And he gave me a response that really hit home. He said, "Maybe God is sending you because someone else needs you to go." And that's what coming to church is about too. We're here to support each other. Sometimes we look up for God, but we don't have to look any further than to our right or to our left. In reality, our human side can often get in the way of being able to see the divine in one another, especially when there are a lot of emotions involved. Recently, I had a disagreement with a friend, and it wasn't working. There was misunderstanding, hurt, and we weren't listening to each other. But we took a step back and kept persisting until we could hear each other out. Jesus' second lesson is to be persistent in our pursuit of justice. The widow can't appeal to the good side of the judge, so she wears down his stony heart like water on rock. Like the Energizer Bunny, she just keeps going and going and going. Martin Luther King once said, "Freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor." Spiritus parishioner Sarah Brownell learned this through her experience when her friend and co-worker in Haiti was arrested for a crime he didn't commit. There was a new government in town, they didn't like him, and there was someone standing as a witness saying he burned down a house when he wasn't even in town that day. So Sarah went down to Haiti and through a local priest set up a meeting with the judge at his house. Sarah said, "I was terrified, but I went anyway. I politely explained my view of the case and asked the judge for justice." It took 20 letters, hundreds of phone calls, and thousands of texts, but a year after his unjust arrest, he was finally freed. Sarah says the best advice from Haiti is "Ken Befem Pelage." This is used as a goodbye of sorts, and it means stay strong and never give up. If they won't give up despite imprisonments, beatings, deaths, poverty, how can we give up on them? Isaac Newton said, "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." We stand on the shoulders of women like the widow. People like her who walked by faith and not by sight, who kept going even when things looked like failure all around them. Spiritus parishioner Mary Lou Aguilar has been working for Farmworkers Justice since 2003, and it wasn't until September of this year that the Farmworker Fair Labor Practices Bill was passed. I asked Mary Lou what inspired her work. We were on the phone at the time, but I could tell she started smiling when she began to tell me about this fiery Irish guy named Jim Schmidt, who started the movement over 20 years ago. He actually came to Spiritus to speak at one of the Thursday night masses. He didn't get to live to see the bill pass, but it was on his shoulders that Mary Lou and others were able to finish the job. This past week marks 2 years from when women who were sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein started using the hashtag #MeToo to break the silence on their sexual assaults. 2 years ago marks the moment the #MeToo movement was brought into the national spotlight, but it was on the shoulders of activist Tarana Burke which they were standing. Tarana founded and tirelessly worked on the #MeToo movement since 2006. The second reading today tells us to be persistent, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. This past month, Greta Thunberg, a 15-year-old environmental activist from Sweden, decided to take a boat across the ocean instead of flying because it's more environmentally friendly. It was a statement to bring our attention to the climate crisis that's happening before our eyes, to challenge us to think about what conveniences we can sacrifice to reduce our carbon footprint, because we don't have the convenience of waiting anymore. I wonder how long we'll wait in other areas too. I went to the YMCA in Pittsburgh, and it's incredible. I love it. I work out there all the time. But I do wonder how long it's going to take us to build a YMCA like that here in the city. And I wonder how many phone calls, texts, and letters it will take to stop the killing of innocent black men and women. It's breaking my heart. At the end of Jesus' parable about the widow, he poses a question. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It struck me because he is already standing right there. The Son of Man is already in front of them, and they don't realize it. It makes me feel a sense of urgency, like there isn't time to wait. The time is now. Elijah Cummings is a man who knew a lot about persistence and faith. He served as a congressman for 23 years. Sadly, he passed away earlier this week. When he was sworn into Congress, he ended his inaugural speech with a poem. He said he recited this poem 10 to 20 times a day. And in Elijah's honor, I'd like to conclude with the poem. It is by Perrin J. Mitchell. I only have a minute, 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, I did not choose it, but I know that I must use it. Suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Only a tiny minute, but eternity is in it.